This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, August 17th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, the Department of Homeland Security clamps down on those who use false Social Security numbers. Chicago reporter Chip Mitchell will have a look at the consequences. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weekend forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The village of Rantoul now officially owns most of what once was Chanute Air Force Base. AM 580's Tom Rogers reports on the turnover of the land, which until 14 years ago held the village's largest employer by far.
I applaud you all.
Thank you. Rantoul's Mayor Neil Williams signs off on a contract accepting almost 800 acres from the Air Force. The land includes Chanute's airfield, which now becomes Rantoul's first municipally owned airport. Village Administrator David Johnston says Rantoul's been responsible for upkeep ever since the base closed in 1993, so it won't cost anymore. But Johnston says village ownership will make things easier for tenants and still empty parts of the base easier to market.
We're the landlord. You're only going to be dealing with us. And all our rules will be spelled out in our lease document to you. So it's a cleaner business relationship.
The Air Force still owns about 700 acres, some of which is polluted and undergoing or scheduled to undergo cleanup. Adam Antwine of the Air Force Real Property Agency hopes that process will be done in 5 years.
Once we can get the EPA and the Illinois state regulators on board, that those remedies are in place and operating, at that point we'll have the opportunity to convey the remaining portion of Chanute to the community.
Rantoul is planning to use 160 acres of its newly owned land for an industrial park. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
A spokesman for Congressman Tim Johnson says it's too early to say what Congress should do about the war in Iraq. But Press Secretary Phil Bloomer says the Urbana Republican opposes doing anything that undercuts U.S. troops in the field. Bloomer says Johnson's opposition to President Bush's troop surge is no secret.
It's no surprise to anyone that he was opposed to the troop surge. He didn't think that was a good policy decision or military decision, and expressed himself on that loudly and clearly. But once we have made the decision to be there, we have to support our men and women in uniform and allow them to do their job.
Plumer responded to a report issued by MoveOn.org and other anti-war groups adding up the cost of the Iraq war for each congressional district. The report says the war has cost Johnson's 15th district $1.05 billion so far. MoveOn.org is calling on Johnson to vote to end the war in Iraq and bring troops home. But Bloomer says Johnson thinks the time to consider options on Iraq will only come after General David Petraeus reports to Congress next month on progress in Iraq. In a talk with reporters in Baghdad Wednesday, Petraeus said he expected the U.S. military profile to be smaller by next summer, but cautioned against a quick or significant withdrawal. Workers in two University of Illinois bargaining units vote this weekend on whether to authorize a strike if their leaders feel the need. Negotiations have been going on for about a year over a new contract for about 700 building service and food service workers on the Urbana campus. Phil Martini with the Service Employees International Union says workers don't want to walk out as the school year begins, and if they do, it would be only for 3 days. But Martini says they're not happy that they're entering a second year with no new contract and what he calls an unreasonable offer from the U of I.
The way the prices are these days with oil going up, our gas, our utilities, we can't live with a 2.5% increase and no retroactivity. We're not asking for the moon. We're being very reasonable. And we just feel that the university is shutting the door in our face.
Martini says they want 4% pay raises over the next 2 years, as well as a retroactive raise for last year. U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler won't discuss the negotiations, but says the university has a long history of working with organized labor. An Illinois appeals court says Southern Illinois University can't keep the media and the public from having access to the employment contracts of SIU President Glenn Pichard and other officials. The Illinois appellate court ruled yesterday in a case filed by a weekly newspaper in the Southern Illinois community of Anna. A lower court earlier sided with SIU in the lawsuit, which was filed when the university rejected a Freedom of Information Act request. SIU had argued that it already disclosed Peshard's salary, housing allowance, pension, and benefits. But the university says actual contracts contain personal information that should be protected. Peshard says SIU hasn't decided whether to appeal the ruling to the Illinois Supreme Court. 2 days after getting the go-ahead to build a corn processing plant in Piatt County, Clarkson Grain says it plans to build elsewhere instead. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
In a letter to the Piatt County Board, Clarkson Grain President Lynn Clarkson says they're exploring other possible plant locations that they think may be superior to the spot near White Heath that won a special use permit from county board members on Tuesday. Piatt County Board Member Sharon Lee Martin says Clarkson may have been put off by environmental restrictions imposed on the White Heath site to prevent odor, dust, and light pollution.
So they were going to be expensive. They were going to take a while. But we were hoping that everything would coalesce. And they were very interested in being good neighbors. But we realized that they would have to agree to these in order to make certain that everything worked as it should. And apparently they had been approached by others and other locations, and I think they just thought this was going to take too long.
Clarkson Grain, working with a subsidiary of El Milagro Tortilla Products, are looking for a site to build a white corn processing plant. The proposed White Heath location met opposition from residents in both Piatt and neighboring Champaign counties who feared that a wastewater lagoon at the plant would generate odors. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Five more Indiana counties could face property tax reassessments because of suspicions that commercial or industrial properties were undervalued, which can drive up bills on homeowners. Department of Local Government Finance Commissioner Cheryl Musgrave also says that 15 more counties have conducted reassessments adequately and won't have to revalue property for tax purposes. 16 other counties had previously been cleared. The five counties that may have to do reassessments are Jay, Montgomery, Pike, Sullivan, and Warren. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The Department of Homeland Security last week announced rules requiring companies to fire workers who use false Social Security numbers. The department is promising to enforce those rules by imposing stiff fines on employers and stepping up workplace raids. In Illinois, the enforcement could affect hundreds of thousands of people without proper papers to be working in the United States. Many of them could find themselves working for a temporary agency. Chip Mitchell reports.
It's 4:30 a.m. in front of Four Boys Labor Service near Fullerton and Cicero. It won't be light out for another hour and a half, but young African-American men and Latinos of many ages are already filing in.
Nosotros ganamos el mínimo. Es un sueldo que a un güero.
A 22-year-old from Mexico City says everyone at Four Boys earns minimum wage without benefits. And that's after spending as long as 3 hours in the waiting room for an assignment each day. Those conditions are not unusual at the 770 agencies the state of Illinois has licensed to provide companies with day laborers. The Mexican man says he started coming here a few months ago after losing a full-time job driving a forklift. He says that position included health insurance and sick days, but he admits applying for the job using a false Social Security number. All the company told him when it fired him, he says, is that he turned up on a no-match letter. The letters warn employers about workers whose Social Security number doesn't jibe with federal records. This year, the Social Security Administration expects to send no-match letters covering 8 million workers. If the employers can't resolve the discrepancies, the new Homeland Security rules require them to terminate the workers. Enforcement could hit hard in Chicago industries ranging from hospitality to manufacturing, from food service to landscaping.
My guess is that they're going to find other ways around the law and that they're going to continue to try to find ways to employ the workers that have been working there.
The University of Illinois at Chicago's Nick Theodore studies the low-wage labor market.
For workers, they need to feed themselves and their families, and so they're going to have to make ends meet. Some will get pushed further into the shadows where they're more open to wage and hour violations and health and safety violations, basically jobs that do not have solid labor standards. You know, in the Chicago area, we have a large and vibrant contingent staffing industry. Some segments of that industry are very much above board and follow employment and labor laws, and some don't.
The Staffing Services Association of Illinois says the 23 temp agencies comprising its membership are part of the former group.
In order to be a member of the Staffing Services Association, you must sign a code of ethics.
Director Harvey Cole says the new no-match rules affect his group's members just like they do any other company.
They will follow the rules of Homeland Security and eventually be terminating employees. These people will go to look for jobs in venues that are not as rigorous with in following the rules of the land.
Four Boys is not a member of the association. Steve Kozin, one of the brothers who run the company, says they don't do interviews for broadcast. He assures us Four Boys complies with the law. Yet several signs in the waiting room warn workers they won't get paid for their hours if they fail to submit their application or what's known as the daily ticket. Other signs warn of fines for leaving food behind. And several employees told us they never get pay stubs documenting how many hours they worked or where.
That would be a violation of not only the Dane Temporary Labor Services Act, but also the Wage Payment Collection Act.
Bert Rodriguez is the assistant director of the Illinois Department of Labor.
You know, with the information you're kind of telling me, you know, I think we would go out and look for those types of issues.
But Rodriguez says his department doesn't generally start an investigation unless a worker files a complaint. And the department says it hasn't received any complaints about Four Boys for 6 years. Company employees and day labor advocates say there's a reason.
Four Boys is known as an agency that pays in cash.
Ariana Glazer directs the San Lucas Worker Center, a group nearby that helps temporary employees defend themselves. She admits there's nothing illegal about paying in cash and that most workers prefer it.
They get paid daily. They don't have to wait a whole week for a paycheck. They don't have to pay any fees to cash their check. And they're not getting their taxes taken out. So when their labor's rights are violated, they would probably not say anything. They would just keep quiet and put up with the abuses.
Even if all temporary agencies obeyed labor laws, scholars like Nick Theodore say pushing more undocumented immigrants toward that kind of employment could drag down wages and safety standards for others.
Whenever we have a situation where workers are not able to aggressively and effectively fight for their rights in the workplace, where you have a group of workers that are living in fear, all workers suffer, especially those in the low end of the labor market.
The Social Security mismatch rules are set to take effect next month. I'm Chip Mitchell.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect areas of fog early this morning, otherwise mostly sunny, the high around 85. Tonight mostly clear, the low around 58. Partly sunny skies tomorrow, the high around 82. Mostly cloudy tomorrow evening, the low around 65. Sunday mostly cloudy, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 85. Mostly cloudy Sunday night through Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low around 68, the high around 88. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, August 17th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.